The music of George Gershwin changed my life when I was 7 years old and saw the Warner Brothers film Rhapsody in Blue, which was a biopic of Gershwin's life. I didn't know that the story was pure Hollywood and pretty much made up, but the music was so well done by some of the original performers of George's works, like Al Jolson, Oscar Levant, the original cast of Porgy and Bess. When I heard that music as a seven-year-old child, it was like lightning hit my heart. I had been playing the piano for about 3 years at that point, and I couldn't wait to go to my public library and learn more about this composer, George Gershwin. A librarian there pulled out a book called The Gershwin Years, written by Lawrence Stewart and Edward Jablonski. And she said, "Did you know that Ed Jablonski is from Bay City, Michigan, which is my hometown?" I couldn't believe it, and I wanted to meet Ed Jablonski at some point. 8 years later, when I was 15, I made my first trip to Manhattan. I pulled out the Manhattan phone book, which was probably as big as I was at the time, looked up Jablonski E, and there were many of them in the book, made a cold call, and I was lucky enough to get him on the first try. When he answered the phone, I said, "Hello, my name is Kevin Cole. I'm from Bay City, Michigan. I play the piano, and I love Gershwin, too." There was a little chuckle on the other end of the phone, and after a brief conversation, he and his wife invited me over the next day for supper. And after supper, I noticed he had a little spinet piano in his living room. He asked me, "Would you like to play for me?" I said, "Boy, would I." And I launched into a medley of Gershwin tunes of my own creation. And I think I played Prelude No. 1 and No. 2 as well. When I got done, Ed Jablonski, who was one of the noted Gershwin biographers and American music scholars of our time, said something to me that changed my life. He said, "Has anyone ever told you when you play Gershwin, you sound like Gershwin?" And I said, "No." And then he asked me, "Have you ever heard Gershwin play?" And I thought to myself, well, how old does he think I am? He proceeded to put on reel-to-reel recordings of radio broadcasts of George Gershwin playing and talking. And for the very first time at age 15, I heard Gershwin speak and play. And it was Mr. Jablonski who pointed out the similarities to our playing. From that time on, I realized that even though I was studying classical music, American music, popular song, Broadway, film music would have to be my platform. And the more I learned about George Gershwin, and especially after playing for his sister and his inner circle of friends that knew him well, and the reaction was so frighteningly amazing to say that you sound just like George, and then what do you do with that sort of thing at the age of 15 or 18 or 20? Well, I realized I had a responsibility, that this music spoke to me, and in return, I had to give it back to the world in a way that I think Gershwin did when he performed it. Because no one will ever sound like Gershwin. Gershwin was an amazing pianist. I mean, he was technically as good as Liszt and Rachmaninoff, who were two of the giant composer pianists. And I say composer pianist because there is a difference. When a composer is a virtuoso pianist, you can bet they're going to write a piano part that is going to challenge someone like me. And George sure did that in his works for piano and orchestra. The Rhapsody in Blue was a piece that almost didn't happen. The story goes that sometime in 1923, George was at a party with Paul Whiteman, and they got to talking, and Whiteman was saying how he wanted to do this concert to answer the question, what is American music? And it was to be called An Experiment in Modern Music. And he had asked Victor Herbert to write something and Irving Berlin to do something. And would George write a jazz piano concerto that would work with Paul Whiteman's band, which is kind of an augmented jazz band with some violins to make it bigger. And George, I'm sure, because this was party conversation, said, oh, yes, oh, I'd be happy to. That sounds great, Paul. But then after the party, promptly forgot that he had said that. Months later, the story goes that George was shooting pool at a pool hall in New York with songwriter and producer Buddy DeSilva, while his brother, George's brother, that is, Ira, was reading the morning paper and saw a little article about this upcoming concert. Now, the date that they're playing pool is January 4th, 1924. The date of this concert that Paul Whiteman is giving, February 12th, 1924. I mean, this is barely 6 weeks away. So in this article that Ira reads aloud, it says, Victor Herbert's writing something in Irving Berlin, blah, 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 and George Gershwin is fast at work at a jazz piano concerto. Well, you can bet George probably dropped his cue stick and said, I'm doing what? He promptly gets on the telephone to Paul Whiteman and says, Paul, there's no way I can do this. No, I'm sorry. There's not enough time, and thanks anyway. Well, they go back and forth on the phone, and finally George gives in and says, look, I don't have enough time to write a full three-movement concerto, but how about a rhapsody? That's a little more free-form and not as long, and I'll do what I can. And because of the time constraints and the special needs of the Paul Whiteman band, and when I say special needs, I say that because he had band members that could play three, four, five, up to six instruments, one person. So it was decided that the band pianist and arranger, Ferdy Groffé, which people will know because he wrote the famous Grand Canyon Suite, would sit with George, and as fast as George was coming up with ideas and writing out a piano part, or at least suggestions of one, he would turn the pages over to Groffé, who would then start assigning instruments from the band. But you can bet George had a hand in if a trumpet goes here or a clarinet goes there. With barely 2 weeks to performance, they got two rehearsals in, and George didn't have enough time even to write out his full piano part.